Well, please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6. And this morning we shall be reading verses 1 to 6 and verses 16 to 18. Well, let us hear the word of the Lord. Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. But then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Verse 16. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Why do you do what you do? That is the question that confronts us in this passage. Why do you do what you do? What are your motives? Now, of course, we all do what we do for a whole variety of reasons. But in the end, all of those reasons boil down to one of two alternatives. Either we do what we do for ourselves, or we do what we do for God. Those are the only two alternatives, ultimately. Either we do what we do for ourselves, we are motivated by our own glory, or we do what we do for God, we are motivated by His glory. Those are the only two alternatives. And perhaps nowhere is this question regarding our inner motives more relevant than when it comes to our specifically religious activities and duties. Things like giving alms, giving to the needy, or praying, or fasting, or other such activities. Because, of course, it's in those specifically religious activities that are ostensibly most done for God, that we can actually be at our most self-exalting. And that is why Jesus, at the start of this chapter, says these words of warning: beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. That's the general, the basic warning that he issues to his disciples here in this chapter. And then he goes on to explain that basic fundamental warning in terms of one's religious duties. Because, you see, Jesus knows that it's particularly in our religious activities that we are prone to acting hypocritically, to doing what we do, not for God, which is how it can look, especially in religious activities, but actually to doing what we do, not for God, but for ourselves. Religion, in that sense, can be the most dangerous thing in the world. And so my first point this morning is this: avoid hypocrisy in religion. We must avoid hypocrisy in religion. Now, in the ancient world, the hypocrites, from which we derive the word hypocrite, was an actor. The hypocrites was an actor, and he wore a mask on stage in order to pretend to be someone that he was not, in order to play the part of someone else. And his aim was to play it so well that he got the applause of the audience. And that, of course, is fine for the world of drama. That's what you expect to happen in the theatre. You expect them to put on a show and to enjoy it so much that you end up applauding and clapping them. The trouble is, however, that that kind of play acting, that kind of putting on a show, that kind of hypocrisy can so easily infect our religious activities. And that, says Jesus, is exactly what had happened with the Pharisees. That's exactly what they were doing, Jesus says. Their religion, this is his accusation, and it's a striking, it's a strong accusation. He is basically saying their religion was all for show. It was all about them putting on a show, putting on a performance, so that they would look good before others, so that they would get the applause, the congratulation of the crowds before whom they performed. Their religion, in other words, was utterly hypocritical. That is what Jesus is saying here. Just look at what he says about the various religious activities that he focuses on in these verses. Look at what he says about their giving of alms, their giving to the needy, verse 2. When you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. Now, we don't know if the Pharisees literally had people sounding trumpets before them as they gave their money to the poor in the synagogues or on the streets. We don't know if they literally did that. But they certainly made a big show of their charity. They certainly let everyone know when they were giving generously to the poor. Metaphorically speaking, at the very least, they blew their own trumpets. And they did so, why? In order to be praised by others. That was their motivation. They wanted to be seen. They wanted to be praised by others. They wanted other people to think well of them. They wanted other people to look on and say, what generous people those Pharisees are. Look at their devotion to the poor. Look at how compassionate they are. But Jesus says here that they were not giving out of the generosity of their hearts. They weren't motivated by genuine compassion for the poor. Jesus says that in fact they were giving in order to receive. They were giving in order to receive the praise and the adulation and the congratulation of the crowds. They were doing it entirely for themselves. They weren't doing it for the poor. They certainly weren't doing it for God. No, they were doing it for their own praise, for their own esteem. And when they got that, well, they'd got what they wanted. They got, as Jesus says, their reward, the praise and the adulation of others. And then look at what Jesus says about their praying in verse 5. When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. There is, of course, nothing wrong with standing to pray. It was a common practice in those days. There's nothing wrong with praying in public, nothing whatsoever. And there's certainly nothing wrong with loving to pray. We ought to love to pray. What is wrong, though, is when you pray, as the Pharisees did, in order to be seen by others, in order to be praised by others. They prayed so that people would marvel at just how devout and how religious and how devoted to God they were. They were, so to speak, the arch virtue signalers of their day. We hear a lot nowadays about virtue signaling, doing things to signal, to show how virtuous you are in various ways. It's a fairly recent term, but it applies to a very old phenomenon. Signaling, showing off how virtuous you are, how good and how worthy. And that is what the Pharisees were like. And of course, the travesty is that they were distorting the very thing that most expresses our spiritual poverty and our unworthiness, namely prayer, into something that advertised just how worthy, just how virtuous, just how good they were. And when they got the applause of the crowd for being so virtuous, then they had received their reward. The Pharisees' almsgiving, the Pharisees' prayers were all about them. And so too was their fasting. Verse 16, when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. Apparently the Pharisees would fast twice a week, and they made sure that everyone knew about it. They would neglect to wash themselves. They would cover their heads with sackcloth. They would smear their faces with ashes, all to show just how incredibly devoted to God they were. When in reality, of course, the only people that they were devoted to was themselves. As with their almsgiving, as with their prayers, so with their fasting. They fasted, as Jesus says, in order to be seen and praised by others. You see, the Pharisees' problem wasn't so much what they did. These are good things to do, giving to the needy, praying, fasting. These are good things to do. Their problem wasn't what they did. Their problem was why they did it. They gave and they prayed and they fasted to receive the applause and the congratulation of the audience. For them, it was all for show. They were on a stage when they were doing these religious activities, and they had to put on a good performance in order to receive the applause of the audience. You see, their religion was all about themselves, ultimately, and not about God. Their religion, as a result, was utterly hypocritical. Now, we may not be quite so egregious, I suppose, as the Pharisees. Not quite so shockingly hypocritical, but that self-same spirit of hypocrisy continues to lurk within the human heart, doesn't it? We can so easily do what we do in order to be seen and to be praised by others. We can do very good things, giving to the needy, praying, fasting, but do them for totally the wrong reasons, so that people will think very, very highly of us. Do you, brothers and sisters, do you ever give so that people will thank you for your generosity? Hopefully people will thank you for your generosity, but do you give so that they will marvel at your generosity? Or so that you can feel good about being so generous? Do you ever pray so that people will marvel at your theological knowledge? Whoa, that man, that woman knows so much. Do you even pray sometimes so that God will marvel at how much you know? Do you ever fast so that you can congratulate yourself on how self-disciplined and devoted to God you are? Why do you do what you do? Is it to be seen and praised by others? We must avoid hypocrisy in religion. Instead, we must practice reality in religion. My second point, avoid hypocrisy in religion. Secondly, practice reality in religion. Now, it is our religious duty to give to the needy and to pray and to fast. It is. Jesus expects us to be doing these things. But of course, he also expects us to be doing them in the right way and for the right reasons. And so, for example, he says in verse 3, when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. In other words, don't give to be seen by others. In fact, don't even give to be seen by yourself. Give in such a way that when you do it, you forget about it. You don't look back on how generous you've been and think, oh yes, I have been really rather generous. As soon as you give, forget about it. When you give, do it in a spirit of complete self-forgetfulness. And the implication is, of course, that we ought to give for the sake of God. We are to give, as Paul later says, as unto the Lord. And then verse 6. When you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. Don't pray for show. Don't pray to make yourself look great. Don't pray to impress other people with how theologically knowledgeable you are. Certainly don't pray to try and impress God. Pray simply because you want to talk to your Father. Pray simply because you want to be with your Father. And you want to enjoy your Father. Don't pray to draw attention to yourself. Instead, pray so that your attention might be drawn to your Father. Shut yourself away. Shut out all the noise and the distractions of the world, all the noise and distractions of your heart. Shut yourself away. Be quiet with God. Fix your mind upon Him. Be absorbed with your Father. And then when you fast, verse 17, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. Let me ask you, do you ever fast? Jesus expects you to. He doesn't say if you fast, he says when you fast. When you fast. Now, my guess is that this is one of the most neglected Christian duties. It certainly is in my own life. We give every week or every month, maybe every day. We pray, hopefully every day. We do these things because we know we ought to, but do we fast? Do we fast? Let me make a suggestion, and this is only a suggestion, an encouragement. It's not a command. I'm not going to overstep my authority. But let me suggest that in the light of what I was saying a little bit earlier on and the email that was sent out this past week, perhaps you might consider not just praying for the Vartanians at this time, but accompanying your prayers with fasting. But if you do, please give yourself a good wash. And don't wear a long face. Don't make it obvious that you're fasting. Keep it between yourself and your Father. Do it out of devotion to Him. Reality in religion. Do you see what it means? Do you see what reality in religion means? It basically means doing your duties for God's sake, out of love for God. You see, real religion is God-saturated religion. Real religion is directed Godwards. That's real religion. That's real Christianity. Hypocritical religion is man-saturated, directed manwards. It's all about me and how I look. Why do you do what you do? Is it for God and for His sake? Now, none of us, I imagine, wants to be a hypocrite. We all want to be real in our religion, don't we? We want to keep it real, as they say. The question, though, is this: how? How do we avoid hypocrisy in our religious duties? It's a sin we struggle with, isn't it? Every day, doing what we do, the good things that we do, but really doing them for our own sake, to be seen and praised by others. How do we cultivate practicing reality in our religion? Brings me to my final point. We practice reality in religion by remembering one very precious truth, which is this: that God is your Father. That God is your Father. 10 times in these verses, the first 18 verses of chapter 6, 10 times Jesus refers to God as your Father. Over and over and over again, your Father, your Father, your Father. He keeps saying it to His disciples, your Father, your Father, your Father. Why? Because, of course, Jesus knows that the key to avoiding hypocrisy in religion and the key to practicing reality in religion is to know that God is your Father. Is to know that God is your loving Heavenly Father. Sinclair Ferguson makes this incredibly insightful comment. Let me read it out for you. He says, "The real trouble with the heart of the hypocrite is that he does not know God as his Heavenly Father." He goes on, "The hypocrite is insecure before God and therefore seeks security in what his fellow men think about him." That's so perceptive. That's so incredibly perceptive. The hypocrite is insecure before God because he does not know him as his Heavenly Father. And therefore he seeks security in what his fellow men think about him. Now the Pharisees, we perhaps don't tend to think of them in this way, but the Pharisees were deeply, deeply insecure men. Very, very religious, but very, very insecure, because they saw God not as a father who loved them, but as a cosmic slave driver who was out to get them, to check up on them. And if they didn't do enough, then that was it. They saw God as someone whose approval had to be earned, had to be worked for. They had to do enough good works to gain the approval of God. You see, they weren't secure. They weren't secure in God's love, in God's acceptance, which meant that they sought security in the acceptance and the praise of other people. The root of their hypocrisy was theological. The root of all of our problems in the end is theological. They did not know God as their Father. That was the root of their hypocrisy. That was the root of all of their problems. The Pharisees, and sadly many Christians today, believed Satan's lie that God is not good, that God is not a loving Heavenly Father, that God is instead a tyrannical miser who is out to get you and trip you up. Adam and Eve believed that lie in the garden. God is withholding something good from you. You could be like him if you just eat of that fruit of the tree. God is not good. God is not your loving Father. And they believe that lie. And that is why Jesus here, speaking to his disciples, speaking to you, repeatedly refers to God as your Father. Jesus wants you, brothers and sisters, he wants you to know that God is your Father. That God loves you because he loves you. Because he has freely chosen to set his glorious, everlasting, perfect love upon you. He wants you to be secure in your Father's freely given, unearned, unmerited love and acceptance. Because, of course, Jesus knows that once you are secure in your Father's love, you will do what you do for him. Out of love for him. Knowing that he has loved you so much, even to the giving of his only son, will grip your heart. And so you will want to do all that you do for him. You will, as you are secure in your Father's love, you will give to the needy because you know that your Father has given to you in all of your need. And you will pray because you want to pray. And to be with and to speak to your loving Father, because you know that he won't turn you away, because you know that he loves to hear your prayers. And you will fast because you love to submit your whole being to your Heavenly Father. And then, of course, you will get your reward. Three times Jesus says, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. What does he mean by that? Well, the Pharisees' reward was the praise of men. That's what they sought, that's what they got. The Christian's reward is the praise and the pleasure of your Father. When your Father sees you doing these things, giving to the needy, praying and fasting out of love for him, he is pleased with you. And you feel his pleasure. And there is no higher reward than that. Friends, do you know that God is your Father? There is no need for you to be insecure. It's a struggle we face, isn't it? In so many ways. There is no need for you to be insecure. Your Father loves you. He has shown how much he loves you by giving you his very best. His love for you won't wax and wane. It won't go up and down according to what you do. His love for you is maximally constant. You ought to be, you can be absolutely secure in your Father's love for you. There is, therefore, no need for you to do what you do in order to receive the praise of others. You see, knowing that your Father loves you, being secure in his love, frees you up to genuinely give to the needy out of love for them, to genuinely enter into prayer with your Father, to genuinely, from a heart of devotion, fast. It frees you from that awful servitude, slavery of trying to please other people because you have the pleasure of your Father. you can rest secure in his love. And as you do so, and only as you do so, will you practice reality, not hypocrisy, in your religion. That is the key. Your Father loves you. Why do you do what you do? May we all say with one voice that I do what I do for you, my Father. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are our Father. And we pray that you would help us to be secure in your love as we ought to be. We pray that you would free us from that awful sin of hypocrisy, of that need to receive the praise and adulation of others. And may you free us from it as we know more and more that we are indeed secure in your love and secure in your acceptance. And in knowing that, may we be freed to do all that we do for you, our Father. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.